Heroes and villains. We're going to talk about heroes later. For now... Darth Vader! Autoerotic asphyxiator. Workaholic and a deadbeat dad. Puts his testes in a torture probe, sticking his mask up the Emperor's robe. This Death Star was puckered and sad. People all say he's the bad guy, but villains need to get their feelings too.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I am sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, and this week we have stories about cosplay. Cosplay is a word that's a contraction of costume and play, and it is a really fun way to be somebody else for a little while. It's liberating. If you're an introvert, it's a great way to get out there and be somebody else and feel powerful for a while. And a great byproduct of that is you can be any gender you fucking well want. Our first story is from a first time, I've only ever had her once, storyteller who told on stage in front of hundreds of people. And the great thing about when you tell a story about cosplay is you dress up for the stage. She had the tiniest, most adorable outfit, and you're going to listen to the story and you're going to find out what that outfit was. This story is from Kara Adele, and it was told live on stage in San Francisco.
So not only is this not a story that I've ever told on stage, up until recently it wasn't a story I'd ever told even to friends. So I figured, you know, why not get up here and share it with all of you guys? So... all right. So I'm standing in an apartment, pretty generic, cookie-cutter type of place. It's in Arlington, Virginia. It's a suburb outside of D.C. And there's a, you know, a lot of beige. Not a very exciting place, but it's packed wall to wall with women dressed in superhero costumes. This is the graduation party from my master's program. I went to, as Dixie said, school for expressive arts therapy, and we decided, you know, to do a costume party for our graduation, and that field is predominantly women. So at this party, there's a handful of guys, friends, boyfriends, husbands, but it's mostly just us girls. And I'm standing there in this party, and my friend Allison has taken my hand, and she's dressed as the Black Widow. She's got the body for it, too. And the Black Widow is a Russian spy turned Avenger. She's very femme fatale, very sexy, all clad in skin-tight black leather. And Allison has just taken my hand and asked me to join her in the bedroom. Let's take a breath real quick. So the first time I think I realized that my interest in girls was a genuine thing, as well as it was for guys, was in high school. I developed a crush on this girl in my art class, and she was very Hot Topic. She had big blue eyes and dark hair, pale skin. She wore these, you know, pleather corsets, tutu skirts, these big creeper boots. She used to file her fingernails to points. You can think Zooey Deschanel goes emo. And as a person in high school who was very obsessed with Tim Burton and Rocky Horror, she was just so creepy and weird, and I was totally into it. So nothing ever happened with Zooey, but it's all right, it gets better. But it sort of made me realize, okay, this is a thing. And then I went to college, and I started dabbling, you know, being intimate with women. But it wasn't until I got to grad school that the whole thing kind of came to fruition. Grad school was a really interesting place for me because, as a bit of a sapiosexual, shout out to last month's theme, I was very stimulated to be around all of these brilliant, creative, empathic, just caring women, and I immediately fell in love with a couple of them. Also, as artsy types, we decided to have a lot of costume parties. Like, a lot. Like, every single party we had was a costume party. So for our first Thanksgiving, we did Going Native. You could dress as a native to anywhere, and I was Snooki, and I was native to the Jersey Shore. We did Christmas from the Future, which I can't really explain, but there was a lot of weird hairdos and face paint and recycled sequin dresses from the 80s. And to bring in the next year of students, we did diamond denim and mustaches, and we all wore jeans and glitter and fake mustaches, because why the fuck not? So then for our graduation, we decided to do superheroes. And one of the things about our parties was, we were grad students, right? So we didn't have a lot of time or money, so there was no effort put into the decor whatsoever. Like, it was just bare bones apartments and balls to the wall costumes. So the superhero party was just like that, and everyone really got into the theme. And I'm in this party, and I'm looking, and I see Catwoman taking jello shots with the female version of Captain Planet, Popeye, and Zorro. I look over, and there's Harley Quinn and Wonder Woman deeply engrossed in conversation with Quail Man and Quail Dog, slightly more obscure superheroes. And I went as Buttercup. From the Powerpuff Girls. Now, the Powerpuff Girls is an animated series. It's about these three little girls who were created in a laboratory by their father, this guy who just really wanted children, but he accidentally gave them superpowers. And they all kind of embody these stereotypes or archetypes. There's the cute, bubbly, kind of simple one, and there's the very level-headed, practical leader, and then there's the bad bitch. And Buttercup's the bad bitch. She wears lime green and has this very raspy voice, and she definitely got a little more spice than sugar in the mix that makes little girls what they are. And maybe if I didn't necessarily identify with her, I always really wanted to. So I went as Buttercup. And we're at this party, everyone's drinking copiously, we're all, you know, reveling in this time that's going to be some of the last moments we have all together. And my friend Allison, whose apartment it is, as I said, is dressed as a Black Widow. Now, along with being very curvaceous, Allison has this beautiful pixie-like face. Think Audrey Tautou or Tautou in Amelie or Christina Ricci. But she's got this long dark hair. And we're chatting. And one thing I should mention is that for me, the finishing touch on a costume is lipstick. I don't know what it is, but until I put that on, I don't really feel like I'm ready. And when I do, it just transforms me into whoever I'm being for that night. So I take out my lipstick, and I put it on in this bright cherry red. And Allison sees this, and she asks me for a kiss on the cheek. And of course, an opportunity to give the Black Widow a kiss. How can I turn that down? So I take her delicate jaw in my hand, and I pull her face towards mine. I give her a little soft kiss on her cheek. Allison's wearing this deep plum red lipstick, and I ask her to return the favor, and she does. But we linger in that moment, our lips just resting on each other's cheeks, and for a second, it's just us. So then the party kind of comes back to us. We keep talking, but there's definitely flirting happening now, and that kind of casual but very deliberate touching and flipping the hair and looking at each other's mouths a lot. And Allison is the type of girl who always has a boyfriend. She doesn't seem to care about them much, but they're always around. And this party was no exception. So at some point in this flirting, she takes my hand and she looks deep into my eyes and she says, "Do you want to come back to my bedroom?" Yeah, but there's this boyfriend in the corner, and I gesture. She goes, "Don't worry about it." What is that they say about female spiders eating their mates? This poor guy had no idea what he was getting into. So, you know, normally I'm not a proponent of infidelity. You're doing something with someone without knowing their partner's feelings about it. But every now and then, when an opportunity presents itself, you have to have sex with it. So, we go back to her bedroom, we close the door, and we start to kiss. And it's very soft and sweet and wonderful, but not exactly what I'm feeling. So I reach back to where her hand is in my hair, and I give it a good tug, and her eyes kind of open. And that's it. We just start making out like crazy, like the type of making out where your teeth are clashing together and you're licking the roof of each other's mouths and we're biting ears and necks and just all over each other. And then we start peeling our costumes off, and my hands are on her chest and her hands are on mine, and we're pulling and pinching and our hands work lower, and I peel her black leather leggings off and she takes down my tights. And then our hands are inside each other, and we're both just so wet. And I had been intimate with women before, but this felt different. Maybe it was because she was a friend of mine, but none of the usual doubts, insecurities about my body, or what does this mean thoughts were there. I was just so in the moment, and all I could think about was how warm her skin is and how wet her tongue is. And my inner buttercup just took over. And I threw her down on the bed, and I pinned her arms above her head with one hand, and I just start working my mouth down her body. And I let go of her wrists, and I drag my hands down her ribs, and I'm kissing all the way down her thighs, and I start going down on her. And it's so hot, and she's just kind of writhing around. And she stops me for a second. I look up, she's reaching to her bedside, and she pulls out her vibrator. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever had this happen, but sometimes in the heat of the moment, if someone hands me a sex toy that they own, I'm like, look at it, like, what is this devil magic stick, and how do I harness its power? Like, I don't know how it works. So she turns it on for me, and I start using it on her, and I have it inside her, and I'm going down on her, and I look up, and she's biting her hand to keep from making noise, and I keep moving it in and out of her, and my mouth is on her, and then I feel it starting to build, and then she comes so hard. I feel her whole body just vibrating, and for a moment, everything is electric. And then she collapses against me, and then onto the bed, and I collapse on top of her, because I'm the type of partner where if my partner is satisfied, I'm satisfied. So we're laying there. Our limbs are all entangled. We probably look like two extras in some Renaissance painting about a Roman orgy. And the sounds of the party start coming back to us through the door. And we start kind of laughing because what just happened? And there's a knock on the door. It's the boyfriend, just wanting to know where she is. She looks at me, rolls her eyes, and giggles. Such a black widow. And she just yells, "Oh, it's all right, we're just talking. We'll be out in a minute." So we pull our bodies apart, and at that moment we realize that we're covered, earlobe to thigh, in bright red lipstick. So we race to the bathroom, and we're scrubbing each other off with baby wipes and washcloths, and we're just laughing at the ridiculousness of the whole situation. We finally get clean, go back to her room, help each other get dressed, freshen up our lipstick. and we returned to the party. To the best of my knowledge, none of our friends ever found out about this. But it was still a really big night for me. Not because I fell in love or had the best sex of my life, but because I did something. I really did something. Something that if someone else had told me they had done, I would have said, oh man, I wish I'd done that. I learned to live vicariously through myself. And I realized if an opportunity presents itself, you should seize it because you never know where it will take you. So seize the opportunity, but just remember to take off your lipstick first.
So I don't identify as a cosplayer myself. I have a lot of friends who are cosplayers. And that is because as I wandered trying to find myself over the years, and I went from the swinger community to the kink community to so many different places, I kind of found my people among what I call the costumed polyamorists. The people who would have sex parties that had costume themes. And the great thing about that is, when you want to get your flirt on with somebody, you get to see a little bit about how their brain works. You get to see their creativity. You get to see if they're really good with a glue gun. And, you know, it's so much nicer to have somebody come up and say, that is some feather work right there. Wow, Vegas showgirl headpiece. Good job. And it's so much nicer to be hit on that way rather than you've got nice tits. Because that's a lackluster compliment, you know? At best. So I really love to watch people change identities through costumes. And at a sex party, that's so much more fun. So if you don't already dress up for your sex parties and you show up, you know, don't show up in your old underwear with the holes in it. Come on, dress up, throw your heart into it. You're going to take it to a new level, and you know what happens when you take it to a new level. I don't know what happens when you take it, but something happens. Something good happens, I would think. So one of the great things about dressing up in character, one of the great things about playing dress up is that you can be somebody else for a little while. And the great thing about listening to true stories about sex is that you get to be somebody else for a little while. You're sitting on the metro train with your earbuds in. God knows who you are right now. And that's all brought to you through the power of Patreon. That's right. Patreon is how we're making this thing happen. We have stories you ain't gonna hear nowhere else. And the great thing about supporting us is you get to be a member of the Body Hall of Fame. You're one of the people who helped get this thing off the ground because we're still pretty new. And your help is so needed. So if you go to patreon.com, that's spelled patreon.com/body, and support our Patreon, that means that we can keep bringing you stories every single week. So go there right now, support us. Let us know if you want to be in the Body Hall of Fame. We'd love to have your name there so that people know that you brought this thing into the world. Thanks so much.
Thank you. So it's sometimes very easy to forget that superheroes aren't actually born that way. They're made. Whether through a bite from a radioactive spider, or learning to harness mutant powers, or even an injection of super soldier serum. So this is my superhero origin story. Growing up as a teenager in Atlanta, Georgia, I was very, very far from a superhero. I was a clarinet playing co-president of Academic Bowl and Poetry Club, geek who was like really big into Lord of the Rings and Star Wars. I'd sit in my homeroom class, hunched over my binder, and I'd be practicing writing in Angerthas, which is the rune language from Lord of the Rings, which I'd write notes in. And one day this big blonde football player named Mark comes by and he snatches my binder and he holds it up for everyone to see. And he's like, "What is this geeky crap?" And everyone starts laughing. At home, things suck too. My mom is like, "Well, if you lose 15 pounds, I'll get you a nose job. And then you'll be pretty and people will like you more." Yeah, not so cool. But when I'm 16, things look up. I get into Harvard, which is awesome. Yay! And I go to school the next day, and I'm sitting in homeroom, and that same blonde football player, Mark, comes up to my desk kind of sheepishly, kind of lumbering. And he's like, "Congratulations." And I'm like, "Oh, thank you so much. I'm so excited." But inside, I'm like, "Fuck you, motherfucker, geek revenge." Which is awesome. So at Harvard, I quickly find the Harry Potter geeks and the Buffy the Vampire Slayer people, and that's pretty great, and I'm studying film. But I'm still wearing, you know, baggy jeans. I'm hiding my body. I still hear my mom's voice echoing in my head. I follow my passion for film to LA, and I start working at 20th Century Fox. And I remember my first day, I'm walking through the front gate onto the lot. And in front of me is this, like, 40-foot mural of, like, Darth Vader fighting Luke Skywalker from The Empire Strikes Back. And I'm just like, oh my God, I have made it. This is amazing. Geek heaven, right? Through my work in film, I meet these music video directors named James and Anna, who are also into Lord of the Rings and Buffy the Vampire Slayer and all the stuff that I like, which is very cool. And we start hanging out, and they're like, "Hey, want to come see Batman Begins?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure, let's go do it." So I go to this movie with them, and we're like drooling over Christian Bale, and it's super awesome. And then, you know, I go back to their house with them, and, you know, it's all really great. And I lose my virginity to them in a threesome, which is awesome. Yay! Yeah, I was a super late bloomer. I mean, I was 23 by this point, but I just figured it was a huge win. And they not only think, like, my geekiness is awesome and my passion is awesome, but they, like, love my body too, which I'm just like, what is going on with that? And to celebrate, I buy a pair of, like, really, really skin-tight jeans, and I'm so excited, and I come over in them. And Anna just, like, grabbed my ass, and she's like, "Oh, my God, these are amazing." And they peel the jeans off, and we have a really hot threesome, and it's superb. It's great. But at some point, a few years later, I realized I don't really want to just dedicate my life to just making films. I want to have a life that's kind of worth making films about. And I'm also looking for community, which is a little hard to find in LA. So I end up moving to San Francisco, and I'm reading Violet Blue's sex blog, and she mentions this place called Mission Control, which is this sex-positive community organization that has all kinds of interesting parties. And they have a kinky salon party coming up, and the theme is Dungeons and Drag Queens. And I'm like, these people are like reading my mind. I gotta go to this. This is amazing. So I come up with the geekiest thing I can think of. I dress up like an Entwife. It was like, yeah, some of you know who that is, which is good. Which is one of the mythical tree women from Lord of the Rings. And not only do a few people actually guess what I'm dressed as, which I was really impressed about, I actually got laid while dressed as a tree. Which is why San Francisco is awesome. So I meet a bunch of other geeks who like to dress up, and we have this tradition of like going to movies in costume, which is cool because we kind of freak people out. And I get invited to see Captain America, the Winter Soldier. And I'm actually not all that excited because I kind of know Captain America's origin story. It's like he was this skinny, scrawny geek from Brooklyn who like got injections of super soldier serum, and he turns into this big buff guy who like fights Nazis and wears an American flag. And I'm like, that's so square. Like, whatever. But you know what? I'll go see it because we'll dress up and it'll be fine. And I go dressed as Hawkeye, who's kind of like this human disaster who's like a perfect shot with a bow and arrow. I just really had no idea what to be. He's not even in the movie. It was a total costume fail. But you know, I'm sitting there watching this movie and like, you know, the action sequences are good and like it seems to be talking about like Edward Snowden and the NSA, so it's like really relevant. And there's this scene toward the end of the movie where Captain America, you know, it's a climactic fight scene, right? He's supposed to be just kicking ass. And he drops his shield. because he would rather honor his commitment to who he is and what he believes in than to win a fight or, you know, do what's easy. And I'm like, oh my God, that is something that I aspire to. I mean, this is someone who's not afraid of being wrong. He's not afraid of losing, and he will not compromise who he is for anyone. And I'm just sitting there thinking back to all the times that people made fun of me, and I was kind of like hiding and, you know, like ashamed of myself. And I'm like, damn, I want to be that. Like, that is awesome. And you know what? If I'm going to be Captain America, if I'm going to become this person, I'm going to dress like Captain America. I'm going to cosplay this. This is cool. So I start what I call Project Captain America. You know, I start getting the costume pieces together. I made the shield myself, which is pretty cool. There's a lot of my blood and sweat and tears in this. It took a long time. I start lifting weights so I can really look the part. I'm doing these like 4 to 5 day a week, like hour and a half to 2 hour workouts, lifting weights. It's really grueling, high protein diet. I even look up like what supplements Chris Evans takes and I start taking those. Like I'm hardcore. Like I'm doing it upright. I end up getting into competitive weightlifting, which I do now, which is pretty cool. I put on 10 pounds of muscle, which is awesome, yeah. And, you know, I'm feeling pretty happy with myself. And this is all leading up to the premiere of the second Avengers movies, which I'm going to go to, you know, with a bunch of friends, kind of like leading them in costume. But then, you know, after a few months at the gym, I'm like, am I just doing this to, like, go sit in a theater in, like, a really tight costume and look awesome? Seems like a lot of work just for that. And my birthday's coming up, and I'm a really big fan of, like, birthday wish fulfillment. So I'm like, you know what? I should probably like theme my birthday party around this and do something I've always wanted to do. You know what? I'm gonna have a gangbang Captain America birthday party. That's what I'm gonna do. And it seems like a pretty awesome idea, I thought, but I'm like writing the email to my friends and I'm like, oh my God. Like, are they gonna be like, this is too geeky? Like, I can't even take it. But like 20 people write back and they're like, hells yes, let's do this crazy thing. Like, we will totally dress up as Avengers and help. Super cool. So I find myself at this private dungeon in Oakland with Loki, the god of mischief, and Thor, the god of thunder, and Agent Coulson, who's this like very infamous Captain America fanboy, Hawkeye and the Winter Soldier, and Nick Fury, who's the spy whose secrets have secrets, and Iron Man, who's a genius billionaire playboy philanthropist, who some of you know, and then a few other like assorted you know, villains and heroes, and they are all gathered to fuck me silly. This is great. So it starts with Loki and Agent Coulson whispering something to each other, and all of a sudden they're grabbing me and they're pulling me over to this big iron bed with chains hanging down. So they strip off my clothes, they blindfold me, and then they tie me to the bed. I can hear Loki getting something out of the bag, and I'm like, oh, I don't even know what's coming. This is not going to be good. And Coulson starts putting clothespins all over my breasts and my arms and tweaking them, and it hurts like hell. And then suddenly, Loki is fucking me with a strap on. I hear a zipper somewhere up near my head, and there's a cock in my mouth, and I'm just taking it from both ends. And I'm like, okay, it's on. This is great. I'm totally loving this. Suddenly, you know, whoever's cock I was sucking is gone, and I hear this really mischievous laugh that I recognize, and of course, it's Loki, lowering to sit on my face, and I'm like, oh, this is great. And then I hear Bucky, who's supposed to be my best friend, right, who got, you know, brainwashed or whatever, and I'm like, what did happen? But of course, you know, can't hear anything. But he's in, like, full Winter Soldier assassin mode, and he's, like, not gonna help me at all. So, you know, he grabs the chains with his metal arm, and he's just giving it to me hard, and I'm just, like, in my head, like, the Winter Soldier is fucking Captain America. This is like all of my geeky fanfic fantasies come true. This is incredible. You know, I'm blindfolded, so I've, you know, it's all sensation and noise, and like someone's like slapping my thighs and my pussy, and then like Nick Fury takes a turn, and then suddenly I hear this like big booming voice that I recognize, and I'm like, it's gotta be Thor, the god of thunder, right? And I feel his big magical hammer Mjolnir enter me. And I'm like, all of this fucking and sucking and torment has just been a warm-up, you know, for Thor, epic stamina. I mean, he's pretty much like the only Avenger who can like take me down, other than the Hulk, but the Hulk wasn't there. Just sad, maybe next year. Turns out Thor is also the god of cunnilingus, which is awesome. Go Thor. Props. I love it. So I'm like screaming and thrashing and sweating and I'm just like, oh my god, and I'm sucking Nick Fury's cock and like, it's taking a lot of coordination. I mean, gangbangs are not easy. Like, it's not like you're just lying there. I mean, it's intense, right? And I can't see anything. And then somewhere off to my left, I hear someone snap on a pair of gloves and I love that sound, but I'm just like, shit. I do not know what's gonna happen and I don't know who it is either because they are dead quiet. And then all of a sudden, I feel two fingers inside me, and I know it's gotta be Hawkeye, because she's got perfect aim, right? And she is like finger fucking me, and I'm just orgasming, and I'm thrashing, and I'm squirting all over myself and all over everyone else. And it's amazing. And I'm like, how long can I hold on? Like, I don't want to give up, Captain. Oh, I don't know. I shouldn't surrender. And I was like, oh my God, no, I can't deal with it anymore. You guys win. You win. But honestly, I really think that all of us were winners that night. It was pretty great. It was pretty great. And so my friends take off the blindfold, and Loki and Agent Coulson start undoing all the ties and the chains, and they prop me up on the bed, and I'm just like covered in like sweat and tears and like my own cum and other people's. I'm a total mess. I can't even stand up. But I'm like looking around at all my friends dressed in these like ridiculous Avengers costumes and villain costumes, and I just feel so loved and appreciated like I never have before. It's amazing. And I mean, you know, for years I just thought like, oh, I'm a freak and a geek and I'm just kind of like all out here alone. But I realized like I'm so not alone. And there are so many other people out there like me and it makes me so happy. And I resolve then to never be any less than my full self, to never hold back, to never edit or censor myself, and to never cower in front of another bully ever again. Yeah.
That story was from Annalyn Bond. Annalyn is an incredible cosplayer, one of the most amazing I've ever seen. She can create an outfit in no time, and given the fact that she is pretty incredible looking, it's astounding how she can morph into a character. Again, that was Annalyn Bond told on stage in front of hundreds of people in the most amazing Captain America outfit you've ever seen. We are continuing our 10-year anniversary month. This coming weekend, we have Body Slam, which is, I have people who come to our curated show all the time and say, oh my God, I would have had a great story for this show if only I'd known or if only I'd planned. And the great thing about a slam is you don't have to plan. You show up, you order a shot, because that really helps you talk about sex on stage. And you put your name in the hat, you get to win prizes, and you get to hear amazing stories from the person sitting right next to you, and you get to tell your own. The theme for the night is It Seemed Like a Good Idea at the Time, and it's this Sunday night, February 19th. Right behind it, same night, we are going to have Body Got Me Laid. All the backstories of what happened when someone walked off stage and how their life was changed by telling their true story. You'll not only get to listen to stories, but we're going to have the games there so you can get laid too, because that's my goal in life, getting you laid. So I hope to see you in San Francisco this Sunday night, February 19th. Tell your friends. It's going to be followed by our big 10-year show on the 25th, two back-to-back shows. You can learn more at our website, bodystorytelling.com. So I have several more shows in my 10-year anniversary month, and then I'm going to collapse into a pile. And then I want to come to your town and hear how you do it. Because, I mean, that's the great thing about being a sexual folklorist. I get to learn so much stuff about how people find the thing that they want to do. So if you send me an email to dixie@bodystorytelling.com. Tell me you want me in your town. I want a tour with this show. I want to learn stuff about how people who are not San Francisco do things. I want to know how you make the beast with two backs, Buffalo. I want to know how you get reamed, Racine. And I want to know how you boink in Boston. That was awful. Okay, so write me, dixie@bodystorytelling.com. You can tell me a story if you want, but it's so much better if you get up in front of people. I can't get you laid if you just tell it to me. Don't write me an email with just your story. Tell me how to come to your town so that we can put you on stage, and that's when shit happens. I want to say thank you to the people who make this podcast possible, to our podcast producer, that is a lot of peas, Matthew Martyr, to our sound engineer, David Grossoff, to Joe Moore, to Ruben Tan, to Crystal Crow, the team that brings Body to the stage every single month. So I'm always looking for ideas for shows to put together. I have a lot of different stories. So if there's a story you want to hear, email me, dixie@bodystorytelling. Let me know what you're looking for, and I bet I can find it for you. We're going to end this episode with music. Thanks so much for listening. Tell your friends about Body Storytelling's podcast. We're new. We need your help. We need you to subscribe and all of the things. And we'll be back next week with more. Thanks for listening to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I'm Dixie De La Torre. See you next week.
Virtues come and virtues go. I dressed up in women's clothes and strolled down 42nd Street today. And I walked up to a man in an Acura sedan. He said that if you ever want to see the bottom, then I'll show you.
Roared, raging power whore.